she was big on Mr. Skin.
Say hello to Sonia for me.
Right. It might be more people at a diving match in this movie than all of the diving matches in history combined.
He's getting a lot of massages from his air quotes driver, but whatever. Hello and welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. I am the host of the show, episode 290 of the program. Been doing it a while. If you are new to the show, maybe because sometimes these special episodes that we do get a new ear to the show, reach out, become known to us. You can send an email, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com is the email address. You can also call in and give your thoughts. We are reviewing a movie today. So if you have thoughts, you've seen this movie, you loved it. So reach out, let us know your thoughts either via the email or voicemail. A little bit higher degree of difficulty and don't talk too long. 949-464-TBLS. Call up, spit your words out quickly into a voicemail, and we may possibly dissect your call on a later show. I'm joined now, as I am each and every week, by Mr. Ed Daly, Hoboken's own Ed Daly. Ed, what's up?
Not much. Went 3-0 on my picks last week.
Didn't take you long to get to that. That's right. Excellent job. Patreon.com/theballerlifestyle. If you contribute to the show, you got a heads up that Ed's picks were coming out via Patreon, and you got those, and you went to the bank because he went 3-0 this week. Excellent job, Ed. You are the fucking prognosticator of record. Everybody knows that. We are also joined. You know, it's. I don't know that Ed and I have ever reviewed a film alone. We'll often have a special guest. Maybe we'll bring in Fancy Sauce. Maybe we'll bring in Trev Rogers. There's a myriad of guests. Mark the Nomad. Although, Anyway. And this guy, this guy that's on right now, he's reviewed the most movies with us by far, I would assume, I'm guessing. He's a regular here. You hear him all the time. He also hosts the Bachelor Lifestyle Podcast with me. Of course, I am talking about Mr. Jason Stewart, Mr. Automatic. Jason, what's up?
Hello, hey, everybody.
What's up, Jason? Hello,
everybody. Hey, so, I come across something recently, and I'm not, as you guys know, I'm not big into podcasts.
You're doing old man pronunciation. I come across. You came across?
I came across something. Okay. Someone told me I need to listen to a podcast on Bill Simmons' network called The Rewatchables. And then they started to explain to me what the concept is. And I'm thinking, weren't we doing this on the Baller Lifestyle before the first Rewatchables episode? And isn't this concept, I mean, I'm not going to say we were the first to start doing this, but we are the first to start doing it well.
Yeah, we're the best.
We're the best.
For sure.
I've never listened to a Rewatchables, but I have a friend that hate listens to them. And then he's like, dude, I'm begging you, listen to the Rewatchables Hangover. You will fucking get so pissed off. And I'm like, no, I can't. I can't listen to it. So I feel like they're a little more earnest. And like in actually reviewing the movie is my guess, but I've never listened because I only listen to this podcast.
I think that there's one that's been recommended to me. He's like, start at the movie Heat. You're going to love it. And
that's a great movie.
And then there's like 50 others that you'll love. And I just don't, when I have spare time, you know me, I like to read.
No, you listen to books.
And
that's not reading.
You know. And I spend a fair share amount of time alone with my laptop. I just don't have time to do podcasts.
Yeah, you're binging alone with my laptop is code for binging porn.
Right.
And then two, you say you read, but you listen to books on your way to work.
Well, okay, so we need to do a couple of things. Let's clean that up in post.
Okay.
I can't be associated with porn and have my place of work in the same sentence.
Sorry.
Hold on,
let me make a note.
Views of Jason Stewart are not reflective of the company, right? Don't they have to do
it's
that?
It's on your Twitter. It's not like you work for Disney. Yeah.
Pick this. No, actually, I removed it from Twitter for the same reason. So here's the deal. Let's pick it up right here. Hey, Brian, guess which is more so? Number of episodes of The Bachelor Lifestyle that Ed has listened to?
Oh.
Or the number of Baller Lifestyle episodes I've listened
to? You're like, sometimes you'll text me and you'll be like, hey, send me a link to the Back to the Future episode. And I'm like, what? I'm like, and then you know what I do? I go to the ballerlifestyle.com and I go to the search bar and I type in Back to the Future. And then the link comes up and then I cut the link and fucking paste it into a text so that you can get it on your Android device.
This feels like 1998.
Yeah, so I know you have listened to some. Ed's listened to zero. So you've listened
I've never listened.
Of course not. So you've listened to many more Baller Lifestyles than Ed has listened to Bachelor Lifestyles, that's for sure.
But I love you both. I support you. It's just not my thing.
It's a niche. It's a niche thing. Okay. Before we get started, so spoiler alert, audience. We are here to review a movie. It's Back to School. The 1986 Rodney Dangerfield classic, Back to School. But before we get into that, I need to ask Jason something. Jason, you are a guy, you're known to rank things, and you're also known to be mad online about things. So I need a ranking from you, 1 to 3 of these things that you're mad online about. 1, the final season of, what's that show called with the dragons? Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Don't answer yet. There's 3 things here that you need to rank that you're mad online about. 1, season 8, Game of Thrones. B, Manny Machado.
Umpires.
Yeah.
Umpires. No.
Oh, and so hold on. Then it would have to be 4. We're only going to 3 list here. B, Manny Machado playing baseball the wrong way.
I love Manny.
Or 3, Dave Roberts leaving Clayton Kershaw in to face Juan Soto in the final game of the 2019 NLDS. Rank those things, please, Jason, that you are mad online about.
Oh, I mean, I'll rank them, but quickly, the first and the last one are just, they're matter of fact. Those are awful decisions, both season 8, right, the writing decisions, and Dave Roberts' decision to bring in Clayton Kershaw.
So do we have a 1A and 1B? 1A and 1B situation here?
So if I had to rank the 2 or the 3, I would go with Manny Machado, because there are still some out there, a lot of Padre fans that give me shit on Twitter that don't agree with my assessment.
Oh, so number him. 1.
I will put him at number 1.
Didn't see that coming. Shocked.
Because the second 2 are
Hall
kind
of Famer Manny Machado?
Wow.
Hall of Famer.
Future Hall of Famer Manny Machado.
Numbers only.
Yes.
In numbers only. He hasn't won anything, and he has zero.
He hasn't won anything. It's a sport that takes like 15, 16 guys to win anything.
Most guys don't win anything.
He made it to the ALCS with the Orioles, and he was a great player. Like, they were not going to win the World Series.
Carl Malone never won anything. Charles Barkley never won anything.
But if you turn what Ed just said on its head, I would argue that no team with Manny Machado will ever win a championship.
Oh, he's cancer.
Yes.
Okay.
He infects that clubhouse.
This is a major upset in the rankings. I would never have predicted this.
In the Oriole clubhouse, they loved him.
Number one, most mad online about thing for Jason Stewart, Manny Machado playing baseball the wrong way. Okay. 2 and 3. Is this a tie situation? Is it the Game of Thrones final season, or Clayton Kershaw being left in to throw 2 pitches to Juan Soto?
Well, that's the thing. I think the nearest is the still hurts. I mean, the closest one I have to go with probably 2. I mean, Game of Thrones is almost just written off history at this point.
It's too far away. So B, the second one would be Clayton Kershaw. Dave Roberts' decision to leave Clayton Kershaw in. And then 3, bringing up the rear, season 8, Game of Thrones.
I will say this, to Ed's point, I'm not even sure what Ed was talking about with the umpires.
Yes.
But I will say this.
I've just seen some tweets.
He does get mad about umpiring. Yeah. I'm
mad about umpires, makeup calls.
Yep.
You got problems.
Yep.
Well, the thing is this. The instant replay has made umpires lazy. Like, umpiring in baseball, the calls have gotten worse because of instant replay.
I want to go on the record and say I am officially against instant replay in every sport. Fuck instant replay. Okay, continue.
So my thing is this. Like, instant replay wastes 5 minutes of the viewer's time.
Agreed.
It's like, at some point, we need to hold the umpires accountable so they stop getting lazy. Like, if you say, if something reverses your call, the PA announcer says, Jim Schmidt at first base did not get that call right, so that we have docked him, you know, $60 off his game check.
Kind of hard to follow. Kind of hard to follow. Continue. Try to straighten us out here.
That would make them less lazy if somebody held them accountable for
their misdoings. Should they give their address too?
Yeah.
I'll take anything that doesn't waste my time in instant replay. Some of the calls are just horrible.
I will say. Because they have the technology to do it with the independent league. The strike zone at this point, there should be no umpire.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that.
What's the point? We're just dealing with antiquated systems.
In tennis.
For tags and that kind of stuff, yeah. I get that you might need an ump. But for the strike zone, that's a rectangle. You don't need them anymore at all.
When I saw Cody Bellinger being a bitch about balls and strikes through the NLDS because he wasn't hitting, because he was slumping badly, because he was sucking as he always does in postseason. I was like, if this was just automatically understood that a ball was a ball and a strike was a strike, these players would be, it's a whole segment of the psychological game that's completely taken out of it. You can't stand there and be a bitch about balls and strikes. Okay. Just a couple tweets here that I've just looked up from Jason Stewart. First of all, he retweeted the Los Angeles Dodgers. Thank you to the best fans in baseball for an incredible season, which Jason Stewart retweeted and said, save your thank you. We need an apology. Hold on, there's more. 2019, the best team in the league with the best player in the league, all for nothing.
Who's the best player?
Cody Bellinger.
Machado?
Here's another one. Here's another one. I don't even blame Kershaw. He should never have been in the game. And if he insisted on being in the game, shame on the team for appeasing him. One more. Roberts had to get cute with a 2-run lead. Just brutal. That's right when it happened. And okay. Rendon v. Bellinger. I know the votes are in before the postseason start, but just one of them looks like an MVP in this series. Jason Stewart. At Jason Stewart on Twitter. Mad online. Okay. Didn't see that ranking coming. We are here to discuss episode 290. We're reviewing a movie. It is the 1986 Rodney Dangerfield classic.
The upper echelon of movies we've seen.
Yeah, it's one of the better. It's easy to make fun of, but it's still a good movie. Let's check out the trailer.
Guess who's getting some class?
I'm going to college.
Rodney Dangerfield's going back to school.
That's what I call marine biology. Hey, boys, here's a couple of pens in case you learn how to write.
That's Boingo.
Yeah, crazy. Danny Elfman.
Wait a minute, when did you dream about going to college?
When I used to fall asleep in high school.
Here's a book on sex education.
Let me see that.
The world's oldest living freshman.
Well, they left out the most important thing. Where to get it?
Say it! Sam Kinison.
He really seems to care. About what, I have no idea. Yeah, a little something for the kids, okay? Take that, it's okay, huh?
I don't have any kids.
No, because we're here. Get yourself some kids. We're here. Take it all right?
What a woman.
She is the teacher.
We're going to talk about this.
I like teachers. Do something wrong to make you do it over again. What do you say you and I have dinner tonight?
Actually, I'd like to join you, but I have class tonight.
Why don't you call me sometime when you have no class?
He's not just the big man on campus.
Hey, folks,
fantastic stunt work in this film, by the way.
You too, honey. Ooh, I'd like to tame your shrew.
He's the wildest man on campus.
Shake it up, baby!
Say when.
Right after this drink.
Rodney Dangerfield, Back to School.
Come on, I'll work.
1986, Rodney Dangerfield, huge, huge star. Let's do some of the particulars. Comedy film starring Rodney Dangerfield, Keith Gordon, we'll discuss him, ooh, Sally Kellerman, Burt Young, bunch of other people, William Zabka, Ned Beatty, Sam Kinison. Directed by, little trivia, directed by Kate McManus's longtime boyfriend's dad, Alan Metter. Show trivia.
What else? What was the?
I believe he directed. Well,
we've heard of him before.
He's what? Directed a Police Academy, but I think it was like the one where they went to Russia. Hold on, I'm going to give you.
So this is the movie for him.
Yeah, I think so. Hold on, let's see here. Yeah, looks like a lot of TV stuff. Oh, he's done some. He did a lot of stuff with Rodney. He did Back to School. That's the big one. Police Academy, Mission to Moscow, which was a 90s Police Academy. But he also directed the Sarah Jessica Parker vehicle, Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
My sister watched that like 100 times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Wasn't that the, what's his name in that? Girls Just Want to Have Fun?
I don't know. Who?
Shannon Doherty was in that. Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh, what am I thinking about?
I don't know. Richard Blake.
The handsome guy. What? Mick Dreamy? What's his name?
Patrick.
No, you're
Duffy.
Thinking of Can't Buy Me Love.
No. Oh, man. I mix those two. Now, you saying that it's Kate McManus's ex-husband father.
Ex-boyfriend.
Now, the last podcast I did here, Ed didn't show for some reason. And we did Roadhouse, and
Ed was in Europe.
Yeah, I had mentioned that my sister's neighbor Gary was the one naked screwing the girl in the opening scene.
That's right.
I thought that was a reach. I thought it was a reach, but I still gave him props. No, and then
I didn't think it was a reach.
On the
That's
bachelor
the kind
lifestyle.
Of information we're here for.
Exactly. On the bachelor lifestyle that Ed chooses not to listen to. I also said the CEO's daughter's best friend, and you thought that was a reach as well.
That was a reach. The CEO's
based on our initial conversation, I feel like if I was there, I'd like to hug Jason and just say it's not your fault over and over again as he weeps into my arms. He's really coming at me with some sort of aggression. I love you, Jason. Yeah, I love you.
I hope so.
No, Stu.
We've actually had a drink or two, yes. Whereas Brian and I have never even seen each other.
Never, that's true. Jason, I very much appreciated that your sister's neighbor in Santa Monica, Gary, was in. He was one of the best characters.
I kind of love that.
Yeah, it was great. So not a reach. This is something of note. I think it's been mentioned on the show before. That's all. That's why I bring it up. The plot centers, and everybody knows this movie, but there might be some people that are too young that are in the audience. The plot centers on a wealthy but uneducated father, Rodney Dangerfield, who goes to college to show solidarity with his discouraged, to say the least, son, Jason, and learns that he cannot buy an education or happiness. Kurt Vonnegut shows up. Oingo Boingo's there. It's filmed. Does anybody know? Did you guys look this up?
I read a little bit about the backstory. Three universities.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I only know the one. Oh, yes. Oh, wait. Yes.
So this is supposed to be Grand Lakes University, which makes it seem like it's, what, a Minnesota school?
Right. Yeah.
Feels very California.
Yeah.
It's University of Wisconsin.
On
at
Wisconsin.
Madison.
Yeah.
USC.
Yep.
And it says Cal State University, Los Angeles. Is that UCLA?
No, it's Cal what State, LA.
I've never heard of that
it's,
one.
It's in LA. It's off the 5. It's a commuter school. It's part of the Cal State system that Jason and I both matriculated through.
I'm sorry if I'm stepping on your toes here. I read a key detail about the script writing. It was Harold Ramis's idea.
Yeah, saw that.
That Thornton Mellon, they were going to make him like a poor schmo. And he's like, I think it would work better if he's a rich guy that goes back to school with his son. And that is a huge detail to the movie. That's what makes it great.
Huge. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, that just shows what a genius. I mean, he has been a part of so many great comedies of our childhood. That's the type of detail what makes him great.
But that's the character that he directed in Caddyshack. Like, Dangerfield makes a perfect, obnoxious rich guy.
Right. He's not a elbow grease kind of guy. Makes a rich prick guy.
And Jason Mellon, I mean, one of the all-time pieces of shit in all movie history. Imagine if his dad were a poor schmo and he was this much of a disgruntled asshole. Like, it would be impossible to redeem him from that. What else? The diving competition. Oh, there's a diving plot. Thornton Mellon, a child of immigrants, returns from school. Oh, so I'm not going to do the whole plot. How much money did this thing make? That's always interesting to find out. Let's see if we can determine that.
Now, it's always tough because what is successful in the 80s is not what's remotely successful today. No. So
let's see if it even says reception.
I can't imagine this was successful in the theaters. This feels like a video called classic thing.
Well,
I would say this is sub 20 million.
I'm going to give you the numbers and you just tell me
what year was it?
86.
86. So Top Gun was out that year.
Yep, that's right.
What else was out with Top Gun in 86?
86.
Because I remember seeing this in the theater. So I was 14 years old. It was a rated R, right?
Ed, type in top grossing films of 1986 while I look over here to see how much this one made.
But the boobs and the cussing made this rated R, right?
Yeah, of course. The film received
the big comedy that year had to be Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, that was 86. Yeah. The film
Golden
received
Child, Aliens, Platoon, Top Gun,
all
Karate
fucking
Kid
classics.
Part 2.
All fucking classics, especially Karate Kid Part 2. The film received mainly positive reviews from critics. It's the sixth highest grossing film of 1986, as well as the second highest grossing comedy film of the year behind Crocodile Dundee. Records state that in addition to the rental and theatrical gross it received, it went on to gross $108,634,920. Globally.
This movie?
Yeah. So I don't know if that's in 1986 because that would have been a record. Like, movies didn't make that much back then. That has to be till today, right?
But that almost ensures a sequel. When did he pass away and why wasn't there ever a sequel? And if there was, how come I don't remember?
Like the late 90s. Yeah. He hung around for a while.
So now I'm on IMDb. And they're saying the budget of this movie was $11 million. It made almost $9 million in its opening weekend, which is a pretty good return. USA gross, $91
million. That's crazy.
Yeah. It was a big hit. I mean, it was definitely a thing. Rotten Tomatoes.
I remember it being a big movie for me and my friends.
Totally.
But like, we were 10, 12. Like, we were of the age that don't really dictate the box office.
That's true. Yeah,
this is crazy.
Yeah, we would have had to buy a ticket to something else to sneak in. Although I think back then they didn't like play it too close to the vest with the R ratings. Rotten Tomatoes has it 85% with the critics certified fresh, only 68% with the audience. I feel like there might be some late arrivals that have reviewed this movie that didn't exactly get it. But again, massive hit, cultural phenomenon.
This might have gotten Me Too'd.
Yeah, it's kind of, there are like some minor like Me Too. There's some like he kind of Me Too's the chick in the shower. But
kinda.
I mean, a little bit. I don't know. It was an accident. It was a different time.
Honest mistake. The cops were behind him.
I did.
It's kind of the. Yeah. It was the 80s old man mentality. And who am I kidding? Like, it's like the 2010 80s or old man mentality of, if I look a third time, but give her a compliment that she's really hot, then what could she be upset about?
Then it shifts back over to being good.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not bad anymore.
Exactly. One kind of an accident, two bad, three, it's okay. You've redeemed yourself.
Sweet.
I did like, and I want to see if you guys notice this, the movie starts with a cool flashback black and white scene.
Sepia, whatever.
Yeah, to Thornton Mellon as a kid and Wayne from the Wonder Years.
Jason Herbie.
Right.
He's like 5'4", 5'3".
He's so little. He plays the young Thornton Mellon, whose whole dream, his dad is a tailor or something, and his whole
Thornton Maloney at that point.
Right. I did like that touch too. He's had to shorten his name to Mellon. All he wanted to do was work in his dad's shop. And his dad wants him to go to school. The whole thing is he wants him to go to school. And then we fast forward to modern times and he's become rich and he's got his own chain of shops here. Here's a little clip.
He's the Rochester big and tall guy.
Yeah.
A little on the hefty side, perhaps. Well, let's face it. Are you fat? When you go jogging, you leave potholes. When you make love, do you have to give directions? At the zoo, do elephants throw you peanuts? Do you look at a menu and say, okay? Well, now you can eat all you want.
He's basically just doing his act.
Melon's tall and fat stores, we've got you covered. That's right. Fine woolen. And woolen blend suits and sport coats in all the larger sizes. Husky. Stop. Extra stuff.
He's a super rich guy, and he gets driven around in his limo. And who's his driver? Jason Stewart?
Burt Young.
That's Burt right.
Young.
Uncle Paulie.
And you got to give him credit because he really had to expound his acting, the grooming. Spectrum.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he plays a much different part in this movie than he played in Rocky.
That's true.
It's hugely different.
They pretty much wardrobe's like, all right, put on a limo driver's hat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just wear what you'd normally be wearing, which is this suit, and just throw on a hat and do the same character you do in Rocky.
You don't need to shave. Just put on the hat.
How about a little?
How old is he, Brian?
So yeah, I was gonna do how fucking old is this guy, Burt Young, in 1986 when he's in this movie? Do you guys want to take some guesses? Do you already know?
And wasn't he also, didn't he also do Rocky IV this year, or was that a little bit later?
I think Rocky IV was 87 or 88.
No. It was definitely earlier.
Oh, was it?
It was either 85 or 86.
Oh, so it was, then it was the same time. How old, Jason Stewart, how fucking old is Burt Young in this time period back to school?
I was just going to say that he just walked off the set of the other one and onto this one. Yeah. He was just the exact same guy.
Same guy.
He might have just been shifting between both sets, and he didn't actually have to know where he was. He just had to play the same guy.
He was probably like, "Hey, where's my robot?"
Yeah.
Normally, hey, I act with the robot.
The robot.
Yeah. When do I get to fuck the robot?
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Paulie.
I would say 58, just to be
58 years old in 1986.
That's a safe bet.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty safe.
I looked it up, and you have to keep in mind, it's always a year younger than when it was released, Brian.
Right, so he's born 1940, which would have made him 45 years old when he made this movie. He looks 65. He looks like so fucking old.
If you're playing it safe, he looks 65.
Yeah. It's crazy, 46.
My grandfather in his 70s looked way better than this.
It's unbelievable. They're showing that Rodney Thornton Mellon is just a rich bastard. He gets driven around in a limo. He's got his driver. He goes to work and he's got like he goes in a big conference room and he owns these tall and fat stores. And I guess this was the thing because he goes in to the tall and fat stores to the meeting, like the corporate offices or whatever. And he goes in this big conference room and it's morning time. And everybody's eating like cakes and not like pastries, like Danishes, like big chocolate pieces of chocolate cake. And there's like all this food on the table. Is that because he owns tall and fat stores? That was kind of lost on me.
I'm guessing they were trying to establish that America was coming to terms with its obesity crisis.
Right.
So they were trying to point out, hey, we eat a lot.
Everybody,
because it was rather ham-handed.
Everybody's real fat, and that's why he's so successful, is because he owns these tall and fat stores.
Yeah.
And so then he's like having a meeting, and they're showing that he's like a real badass businessman. Like they're like, hey, we should sell this property in Florida. And he's like, hold on, keep it, take the depreciation, and then we'll flip it. And like he's got real good business sense, we can tell.
Yes.
Then he takes a call from his son, and he's like, all right, scram, everybody, this meeting's over. They're like, we got business to do. He's like, so they're establishing that he's very dedicated to his son, because his son, Jason Mellon, calls him from college, and he's like, it's my son's on the phone. This is important. How fucking old is this guy, Jason Mellon? Because he's supposed to be a college age, and
he's the creeper from Christine, the Stephen King movie.
Yes, he's also,
I don't know what came first, but both, he was disturbing.
I couldn't place him, but it was distracting how short he is.
He's tiny and old.
He's balding. He's 18 in the movie, the character, there's definite baldness. He's receding hair.
He's balding. So how old do you think how old does he look?
At least 29.
29?
Yeah. I mean, just being safe, he looks like a guy in his mid-30s.
Mid-30s, yeah. I'd say early 30s he looks pretty close. He's supposed to be either like a freshman, sophomore, we think. He's born 1961, so he would have been about 25 when this movie came out. So he looks much older, though. And then who do we see? Immediately we understand to be the bully just by his appearance? Johnny Lawrence.
A full feathered. This was gorgeous, an exaggerated man version.
Gorgeous.
I mean, his hair was beautifully feathered. And he looked yoked. He was at his best here.
He's probably got, I don't know, 5% body fat, if that. He's supposed to play a diver, so he's got to be shirtless a lot. And my man definitely looks the part. I assume that they saw him in Karate Kid, and they're like, get this guy and let him grow out a feathered mullet so he doesn't look high school age anymore.
You can see
this was the perfect coif.
Yeah, perfect. Gorgeous.
I just noticed this trend. It's almost as if the casting director said to Dangerfield, Burt Young, and this guy, just be the guy that you were at in the movie right before this. just be that guy.
Right.
You don't have to,
nobody
you don't have to
needs
worry
acting
about
lessons.
Else.
Just yeah. Keep slow and steady wins the race here. Just do the same thing.
Let me set this up for you. You are a obnoxious jock who is jealous over the dweeb who has your chick. Have you ever done a part like that before?
Yeah. Do you think you can pull that off? So, Johnny Lawrence is there. He's the star diver. And we learn that Jason's told his dad that he's on the diving team, but actually he's just a towel boy. Things here. One,
that's going to be tough to admit to your dad you're on the diving team, first of all.
Well, we're meant to believe that you have to actually make the Grand Lakes University diving team. And two, we're meant to believe that that diving team actually has towel boys.
Right. They have staff.
Yeah. So he's
excess.
Yeah, he's living a lie. So that's his life. It's not going great for him at college. And then we're back to Thornton's house. Thornton, he's remarried. I don't think they mentioned that Jason's mother has died until later in the movie, but when he does talk to her, he's like, hey, your mother. And he's like, she's not my mother. She's your, she's your wife or something. He's remarried and he's always.
She looked familiar to me. I looked her up. Just Escape from New York is the only thing I could see from her.
Adrienne Barbeau, kind of she's one of those ones that she probably did like a Magnum PI. Like you've seen her face in a lot of things, but she's a character actress.
she was big on Mr. Skin. She has taken her top off in many movies.
Yeah, I felt like I had Mr. Skin seen, known her.
Jay Stu's what was the on one Mr. about? Skin.
What was the one about creature? The creature with underneath the lagoon or something that
creature
was
from the Black 80s? Lagoon.
Was that the movie?
I don't know.
I want to say she was in that, and she was naked in that. But I could be wrong.
Wow. She's carry on. This is an issue I have that I'll get into more. This Thornton Mellon, look, he's Rodney Dangerfield. The guy is no looker, okay? He's got the bugged out eyes thing. Talk about how fucking old is this guy. He's actually old as fuck. But the character Thornton Mellon is super rich. He should really be attracting a higher level of ass. His second wife, she's just okay. She's just okay. And then he gets to college and there's all these co-eds around that probably are very much interested in establishing the sugar daddy type of lifestyle. And meanwhile, he's trying to hook up with the professor.
With Hot Lips Houlihan.
Right. I mean, just the whole thing is just...
That's an issue for me. Was?
Yeah.
That's
not the actress from TV MASH? One, the movie one.
No, the movie one.
Yeah, she's the,
oh, the movie
she's
one.
The movie
okay.
Hot Lips.
With Elliot Gould.
Yeah.
She looked Donald familiar. Sutherland. I just couldn't place her. But she there is something about her that is attractive.
Sally Kellerman. She's been in tons of stuff. So that, but you could tell he's like bummed about the wife. He's like, she gives great headache. Like he's really annoyed by her. She's throwing a party and, immediately he catches her like being fingered by some, it's not established who the dude is, but he's some guy,
but a guy who's familiar from other 80s stuff. He's wearing leather pants, but you've seen that guy in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. He has been in a bunch of stuff. That reminds me. When is this proprietary to Amazon Prime? Like, so the other night I'm watching Succession and don't spoil it for me because I'm a couple episodes behind. Okay. And I'm watching Succession and I'm watching it on the HBO app. And all of a sudden I see there's fucking Larry from Perfect Strangers. And I'm like, holy shit, there's Larry from Perfect Strangers. He's on Succession. He's part of like the Pierce family that they're buying their media empire. And I'm like, I want to click and I go to click it. If you're watching something on Amazon Prime and you pause it, it tells you every actor that's in the scene. Why can't Netflix and HBO and Hulu and every other fucking streaming service do the same thing? It's a fantastic tool. Are you guys
agree? It should be like, remember when Fox got the NFL and they're like, you know what? We're going to post the score and time at Chiron. All times.
Yes.
Just like video games do. That's what motivated them, Madden. And then every network immediately had to do that. And the first down line, like that was just a thing. This should be the same type of thing. I want to know exactly who I'm looking at.
I often want to know. I'm always like, where do I know that guy from? And if it's on Amazon, you know in 1 second where you know the person from. Every other streaming service doesn't have it. Jason Stewart, you're in the business. We won't say who you work for. What do you think about that? Is that proprietary to Amazon? Everyone can do that, right? The technology is there. What do you think?
No, there's no way that Amazon could own something like that.
Of course not.
And I love it. I've loved it for a long time. And to add to it,
I love it more than you. I physically ejaculate on my
I'll
television.
I'll see your
when
love
it, pops up.
Yeah. And I'll raise you seeing it on top of it.
Yes.
But you also get a lot of the times the name of the song and the artist.
Yes. Like, Oingo Boingo.
Like that was one of them. But there was also a cheesy, totally 80s song when they're pulling up to campus and Back to School back is to just school. Like shoehorned into the chorus. Like it's just an awful 80s tune. And I swear it was Kenny Loggins. And I go there and it was some artist I'd never even heard of.
Ripping off Kenny Loggins. Yeah. It's an amazing feature and really everyone needs to get on it quickly. Okay. So you realize that Thornton is unhappy at his party. It's everyone's real stuffy, which is weird because they should be kissing his ass because it's his fucking house. He's the rich guy. Yeah, he's the rich guy. And it's like not his kind of food, and there's no beer. Like, you can't have, we can't have beer at this party, so he has to go get a beer.
I like when he takes a loaf of bread, yes, like an entire loaf, yeah, and just cuts it open and just pours everything into it.
Yeah, he goes, oh, I hate small food. And he takes an entire loaf of bread and makes a sandwich. He puts like deviled eggs on the sandwich. It's great.
It's just the whole thing.
It's the best. So yeah, he's clearly unhappy. And then at the end of the party, he's tells the wife, they have a blow up and he's like, it's over. And because he's a strategic businessman, he already has the divorce papers in his pocket.
Right. He went into that party fully armed.
Yeah. That's a good play. So he gets rid of her. And then he's like, Lou, Burt Young, he's like, gas. Oh, and, but then we get the whole party's left and it's just Lou, Burt Young sitting there by the side of the pool. And Thornton goes for a swim, even though it's the middle of the night. And we get a little foreshadow.
He's got some hops.
His diving prowess. The man is a diving specimen. But then he tells Lou, hey, pack my bags. We're headed 3 hours north or whatever to go see Jason at college. They head up to Grand Lakes College where they just pull up. He thinks Jason's in a fraternity. So he pulls up to the first house with Greek letters on it and he cruises in and he immediately just pulls open the shower curtain. And there's some beautiful nubile young breasts there. And this, I use the Amazon app to just see, hey, I should know who those breasts are, but it was just some rando. It wasn't like,
yeah, this was their only gig
credit. Yep. But that's nice to see. You don't see that anymore. These R-rated movies, they just don't, there's no boobies like there used to be. You know what there are? There's a lot of dicks. They put a lot of dicks in movies now. This is where we are. But
the cop who escorted him out, that's the guy from Me, Myself, and Irene who he shits on his front lawn.
Oh, yeah, it is. The neighbor.
Yeah.
Right.
He's been in stuff.
Yes,
there are a bunch of character actors in this movie that did great roles in iconic movies.
Totally, 100%. This is where we get introduced to Robert Downey Jr. He's in this movie. He plays Jason's buddy. Derek Lutz. And
now, I want to point out one thing about him.
Yeah.
And the charisma jumps off the screen. Like he's a guy.
No, that's a cocaine bender, but go on.
Yeah. Right. But charisma and cocaine are one and the same. But what struck me is he's got some real summer teeth.
Oh, does he? I didn't notice
that. He's got gaps between pretty much every tooth.
Shut up.
Yeah. He's got a fucked up grill. And his dad was in Hollywood. Like,
his dad was a director. Right. Got those teeth fixed.
His teeth are real fucked up.
Unbelievable. Did not notice. Yeah, he's there to low-key role for Robert Downey Jr. I don't know if this is the first thing he's in, but...
Weird Science was around the same time, right?
Around the same time, yep. Bigger role for him in that. Yep.
Before I go to Robert Downey's IMDb page, I need to let you guys know that the movie that woman is in is Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing.
You guys remember Swamp Thing at all?
I do not remember Swamp Thing.
No. High rotation on my HBO in the early 80s.
Oh, very nice. Okay, yeah, let us know what Robert Downey Jr. was in around this time. At this time, we get a little more of Jason Mellon, and he's like, you know, school's not working out for me. He's telling... you know, Thornton shows up and he's sussed out that he's not actually on the diving team and he's not actually in a fraternity. And Jason's just complaining. He's like, you know, it's just, I think I'm going to drop out. It's like, things aren't going well for me. I'm getting C's. And Thornton's like, ABC, you're in the top three. He's the best dad ever. He's like, so
it's great.
He just loves his kid. And he's like, you're doing great. Like you're a melon. Keep going. And this Jason he's like, no girls will even talk to me. I need to ask you guys, is Jason Mellon the original incel?
He really at every turn bums you out.
Such a bummer. He's balding. He's very pasty. His dad is fantastically wealthy and just wants to hook him up. And all he does is bitch.
Generous.
Yes.
Awful. It's like the thing that you just, don't understand is this character in the first scene says he hates college, he's getting bad grades, it sucks. And then at every turn, once his dad gets on campus, it's like, why aren't you studying? I'm in the library. Why are we not studying?
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Yeah, that's true. My grades weren't where they should have been because I wasn't studying enough. If you're getting bad grades, it's because you're a shitty studier.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, I never studied shit, and I got B's, C's, occasional D, but hey, I got through it. That's all this guy does. Jason Mellon does is study, and he still sucks at school. But what's he do? What's Thornton? Because he's a fucking amazing, coolest dad ever. He's like, you're not dropping out of school. I'm going to enroll and do it with you. Like, what a fucking dad. Amazing.
Right.
He goes, you can't just fucking enroll at college. Things have to be worked out. So he bounces up to talk to the dean. Ned Beatty.
Squeal like a pig, Ned.
Famous for his star turn being ass raped in Deliverance. Ned Beatty plays Dean Martin, dean of the school.
But Dean Martin, I thought, was a very creative joke the entire
time. It's great. You know what? It's never.
Yeah, they don't overplay it just one time.
It's really funny every time he says Dean Martin. I don't know. I love it when he does it. He goes,
and Beatty's really good in this. Like, this is a throwaway role, and he sells it.
Oh, he's a great actor.
He does a good job.
And, but there's an issue here that I want to know if you guys noticed. Thornton Mellon goes in. He's like, hey, I want to go to your school. What can you do for me? And Ned Beatty's like, at first, Ned Beatty's like kind of a prick about it. He's like, you don't understand. He's like, this is a fine institution. This is one of the greatest schools. He goes, they're trying to make it seem like it's a Harvard situation. He goes, I personally hand pick all the students that come here. Then how the fuck did Jason Mellon get in?
Right. He can't even hack it.
He sucks at school. He's fucking annoying.
Sucks at diving.
He can't dive. Him and fucking Robert Downey Jr. and his blue hair. If this is such an exclusive school, what are those shitheads doing there? Then it's all worked out because he donates a building here. I have the clip from when he donated the build, the groundbreaking from the future site of the Mellon School of Business Administration.
The business of America is business. And the business of an educational institution such as ours is to create young minds that understand that the business of America is the kind of business.
Ned Beatty killing it. And I was, to Jason's point earlier, something I'm noticing now, Rodney Dangerfield, Thornton Mellon, is wearing plaid pants, a golf shirt, and a cardigan sweater. Basically, exactly
Al Serving.
What his character wears in Caddyshack. They're basically taking characters from other movies and just putting them in different situations.
The most revealing scene is when he's buying the books at the bookstore. And he just starts telling him what he wants to buy. It's almost like
one of those naked lady tees.
Yes.
Okay, let's hear. Oh, here we're also introduced in this scene to his foil.
But it actually is. Whatever it is that I have said here today, point is that we are here to honor our most generous benefactor and newest freshman. The man who's made it possible for us to break ground here today, Mr. Thornton Mellon.
Golf clap.
Dean Martin, great speech. There's nothing like good, clean business, huh? And a little monkey business.
Oh, Philip, I'm so glad you could make it. Mr. Mellon, I'd like for you to meet Dr. Philip Barbey, who's the dean of our School of Business.
David, Philip, I just want to get it on record that I am totally against
as the stuffy.
Yeah, this is that British guy with the big nose that's always like plays the upper crust guy.
Mr. Stuffy. Yeah. He's in everything.
He's one thing about this college that's kind of interesting. They have exactly four professors at the whole school.
That's it.
It's not much budget for teachers there.
And one of them has a major cocaine problem.
Yeah, for sure. So he donates a building. And then after we're introduced to the love interest of the movie, who's not – she's kind of 80s hot. Valerie Desmond,
There are problems with Valerie because they cast a hobbit for the main college kid.
She's a head taller than him.
She's 6 feet tall. I looked her up. She's 5'11¾" or something.
Is that right? Yeah. See, I was really hoping she was like 5'6". I was really hoping he was below 5 feet tall.
She is attractive enough, but geez.
Yeah, it is weird. But she's like the quintessential 80s love interest where she's just nice. You know, she's the kind of chick that we're supposed to believe would actually date this. She's the kind of like unicorn that would find Jason Mellon.
A full on incel scene was when she goes, "Hi, I'm," what was it? Valerie Desmond. Yeah. "Hi, I'm Valerie Desmond." He goes, "Yeah, I know." Like that's not what you're supposed to say to somebody when you're meeting them. Yes, I know your social security number too. I watch you when you sleep.
So they're in line to like register or something, and the line's real long, and Johnny Lawrence, because he's a bully with feathered hair, comes in and like tries to
beautiful in this scene.
Yeah, he tries to push his way in line, and Robert Downey Jr., who just steps up to him and he's like, "Get the fuck out. You're not getting in line in front of us. Get to the back of the line."
I don't think so, Derek.
Yeah. Do you guys think that was the yayo courage there? Do you think he just done a fat bump before he got in line? Yeah, and that's what gave him
the put on the Wonder Woman outfit right after that and climbed into a neighbor's house. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Derek Lutz. Oh, by the way, Johnny Lawrence, of all his shitty characters, this is the best name. Chaz Osborne.
It's great.
This is the best bully name.
Chaz Osborne is a fucking fantastic name. Totally agree with you. Yeah. And then, as Jason alluded to, it's the semester starting, so they're in the bookstore. Thornton's disgusted that they're buying used books. So, he makes sure they buy new books, and then he starts just buying everybody everything, including the store clerk and everything. And suddenly, the Sally Kellerman, who's the English literature professor, she eyes him and she's like, "Oh, what's this Thornton Mellon all about?" So that's a question I was asking earlier. Why does Thornton, a rich guy, attract such busted chicks?
Cash is king and Thornton's got all of it.
I know. Should we blame Kate's ex-boyfriend's dad for this? Because the casting of this movie, like, why not put a honey, like one of the honeys of, you know, like an older honey of the 80s in this time,
just like Morgan somebody Fairchild. Like my high school Spanish teacher.
Exactly.
She would get it.
Yes. For
sure. Like what's her name? Crystal something or another from
Bernard. From It's a Living.
Crystal Bernard from It's a Living and Wings. Yeah.
Sure.
And Happy Days. She was a babe. Yeah, put her in this. Totally. And then they head back to the dorm where Thornton, who is the best, has fucking remodeled their apartment into like
souped up a dorm.
Yeah, it's massive. They've got a fucking hot tub somehow. It's gotten like 7 units bigger. There's huge couches. It's very comfortable. Is there anything better than being Thornton Mellon's kid? Were you guys not daydreaming about that possibility when you watched this movie?
I got the same feeling I did when I was a kid watching Silver Spoons. Like, if only this was my life.
I need a train in my house.
Yeah.
Jason?
I went much more skeptical than that because the timeline, the movie makes it out to be as if the construction guy and his crew was able to completely refurbish, bust the walls down in like 6 dorms and put all state-of-the-art shit in there over lunch. Like, by the time they got back from a lunch, they had all this shit in there. Is that right? Was that the timeline?
Thornton takes care of his people, Jason, because the contractor's leaving at the time, and Thornton, he does a thing too where he's like, "Hey, Tom, you got it taken care of?" And he's like, "Yeah, no problem, Mr. Mellon." And he's like, "Hey," he does a thing, and this is a thing I suggest to everybody. He goes, he gives him a few extra, he goes, put a few extra, 100 extra on the bill and throw a party for the boys, which is a fucking classy move. And then he goes, say hi to Sonia for me. Knows his wife's name.
That's a power move.
Yeah. It's, you want somebody to do some shit for you? Give him a little extra. Not a lot. It's a fucking easy throw in for him. And then have a few key things in your memory bank. Say hello to Sonia for me.
Right. That's the indication. No gold breaking. We're going to finish this job quickly.
Of course. Absolutely. Cause they want to be, they want to work for this guy again. Cause he's such a great boss. Then the, so the classes start, he's all set up. He's got everything set up. The
there's a problematic line coming up.
Okay. So he's with the first classes with Dr. Barbe.
Mm-hmm. That's where it comes up.
The British dude. It's, I believe it's Econ, which I'm almost certain Ed Daly majored in.
I didn't major in it, but with business, you have to complete several econs. Mm. I had like four econs. I had to pass.
Oof.
I don't remember any time in my studies the line, the Japs will kill us on labor costs. I don't remember anyone saying that, but I could see some people taking offense to it.
Jason Stewart, any thoughts there? Any thoughts on that particular line of dialogue? How would Bill Parcells?
Incorrect, by the way.
Right, of course not. How would Bill Parcells have felt about that terminology?
Are we talking about the coach of the diving team?
No, that was
Emmett Walsh,
great
Coen Brothers guy.
Right, the doctor from Fletch.
Dude, I can't wait.
The phone book killer and the jerk.
I can't wait to get to that actor because I spent the entire first scene wondering where I've seen him before, but I didn't want to look it up. I wanted to, because I knew that I loved the movie and I knew that I loved the character. And then it struck me, if you're the doctor in Fletch, that's an iconic role. That's that forever. You had a generation of men laughing at your scene for their entire lives.
He's great.
Jerk, Coen Brothers. He's great in everything.
He's in everything. So we're getting the lay of the land of the teachers. Dr. Barbe. Thornton Mellon knows much more than Dr. Barbe about business, which is why they say if you can't do, teach, because anybody that does the job always knows more than your professor talking about it. He goes to history where his teacher, Sam Kinison, fantastic cameo for Sam Kinison.
This is great.
It's so good. Hold on. Let me see if
whoever the woman who answers the first question, she's great too. She is fully intimidated by him.
Hold on. I have the clip here. I love that Sam Kinison is bald. You know, he always wore that do-rag.
Yeah.
Because he was bald on top. And in this one, they've like, he can't wear the do-rag in class, so they've got it fully combed over. Again, how fucking old is this guy, Sam Kinison? This we got to look up. Because
he didn't take good care of himself. No,
Sam Kinison died young, and he's looking not young in 1986. Sam Kinison, do you guys want to take a guess at how old he was in this movie? Jason Stewart, give us a guess. Sam Kinison.
I mean, as we said, there was there's a drug addiction here. He did not age well. I'm guessing it's way younger than he looks. I would say 38.
Oh, my God.
Pretty close. Sam Kinison, born December 8th, 1953. He was 32 years old. As of filming of this movie.
Oh, man.
32. He's basically...
I've got him by more than a decade in this movie.
Oh, yeah. And he looks, I would say, conservatively, he looks about 49. A hard 49.
And doesn't look great. But...
He does not.
But, yeah. All right. So, why he's in this movie... is because Rodney was, I mean, that was the other rap on Dangerfield. Everybody loved him, but he always took care of young comics.
Yeah.
Apparently he at least got him a read Jim Carrey, but he would just look too young for the role. But he also read for Kinison's role.
Yeah, he was. So every year, Rodney used to do that young comedian special on HBO. And these are the guys he discovered. He's the first person to put Jim Carrey on TV, the first person to put Sam Kinison on TV. So he really gave back to the young comedians.
Actually play this quote, and then I've got a couple Rodney facts that I learned about this movie.
Oh, yeah, that's good. This is Sam Kinison as history professor Turgeson.
In contemporary American history. I'm Professor Turgeson. You know, a lot of people think history is just facts, just information about the past, but not me. I mean, I hold history very sacred, The way the farmer looks at the earth and he holds it sacred. The way a Christian takes the Bible and he holds it sacred. The way a lot of people hold their marriage sacred. So I feel about it. So why don't we dive right in by interpreting one of the easiest events in the last 20 years of American history. Now, can someone tell me why in 1975 we pulled our troops out of Vietnam?
The failure of Vietnamization to win popular support caused an ongoing erosion of confidence in the various American but illegal Saigon regimes.
Is she right? I don't know, that's the popular version of what went on there. I know a lot of people like to believe that. I wish I could, but I was there. I wasn't here in a classroom, hoping I was right, thinking about it. I was up to my knees in rice paddies with guns and Edward going up against Charlie, slugging it out with him, while pussies like you were back there partying, putting headbands on, doing drugs, listening to the goddamn Beatle albums.
Hey, Professor, take it easy, will you? I mean, these kids, they were in grade school at the time. And me, I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover.
So good. Sam Kinison. What's Ed, give us your Rodney facts.
So I've got a couple. First of all, this is just a weird one. Rodney's ex-wife keeps a bottle of his sweat in her fridge, which is this a Boris Becker situation? Is she going to do something with his DNA? I'm not sure. But
how would you collect enough sweat to save?
I guess she like wringed out his old clothes after a set or something.
Wow.
That's just a weird thing I read, but I thought was very interesting was the word on Rodney is he liked to hang brains on people.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. This was one of the writers on the movie said, anyone who spent any private time with Rodney saw them. He was only comfortable in a bathrobe, but he never tied it shut all the way and never wore underwear. So the boys kind of hung out to catch some air. They were exceptionally low hanging, like a grandfather clock.
Wow. Wow.
And also to promote this movie, he went on a relatively young late night with David Letterman. And he was always a Johnny guy. That's what made him famous. But they said he helped Johnny home one night after Carson was drinking. Johnny said, I'm fine, but Rodney kept driving alongside him slowly and waited till he got into the house with the door shut and the lights on before finally leaving. Johnny never called him to thank him. Sometimes Rodney would let little things like that stew in his head. We thought it was crazy he was holding onto this grudge. It's quote, Johnny loved to drink, and a lot of people helped him get home. I'd say, Johnny didn't know you were doing all that. He was drunk out of his mind, but Rodney would shake his head. Man, that's not right. He'd go home. He'd say, I got him home, probably saved his life, and he hasn't called me? Fuck it, I'm not doing his show anymore. And so he never did Johnny again, wow. And he only went to Letterman.
That's amazing. That's incredible.
I just thought that's a cool little detail. But yeah, Rodney did not like Johnny at the end.
Wow, unbelievable. So then Rodney goes to Sally Kellerman's class again. It bugs me so much that she's the love interest in this movie, but he clearly wants to get balls deep. He's like asking her out, he's being all funny, he's doing a good job.
And she gives off the vibe that she wants, she's
into it.
From the very beginning, first of all, she's dating a stiff, but
Dr.
From the very beginning, I mean, they try to make her out to be this academic, I guess kind of like a free-spirited one, but I think from the outset, she's a gold digger. Like, she knows about the money.
Interesting.
And she's working it from the very get-go.
But I viewed it as somebody, she gives off a vibe. She likes to fuck. She's an earthy English teacher.
Yeah, I get that vibe too. And Dr. Barbet, clearly not fucking her properly. I see Dr. Barbet as the kind that likes to get one of those red ball gags in his mouth. And this Sally Kellerman, right. Dr. whatever she's called, she's probably a little sick of having to peg him every night. I think that's the kind of relationship we're dealing with here. They go to diving practice, and it turns out M. Emmett Walsh and Rodney Dane or Thornton Mellon are from the same great state of New Jersey. Ed Daly's home
state. South Jersey, right? Didn't they say Atlantic City? They're talking South Jersey.
Because he used to, his growing
dive
up,
off the pier.
He used to open for the diving horse. Just pretty fucked up that they used to make that horse do that.
That's old timey behavior, like Babe Ruth days. Yeah, exactly. That's not.
So he's familiar with Thornton Mellon's diving, and this is where we first hear of the triple Lindy. He asks if he's taught Jason the triple Lindy, and he said, "Of course not."
It's like this.
It's dangerous.
I never quite understood, and maybe it's explained somewhere in some deep dive of this movie, but no pun intended. The dive thing, I don't remember this ever being relevant on any college campus ever.
Diving?
Diving becomes relevant when Greg Louganis and a couple other people do it in the Olympics every 4 years.
This time, yeah.
But
that's it. After the Olympics are over, nobody thinks of it.
There's a lot of attention and fanfare, and the campus seems to really put a lot of stake in these divers. In fact, if we want to draw another parallel, Johnny is in a fairly unknown sport in Karate Kid, and it's very overplayed.
Yes,
and diving in this movie is similar in that it's almost treated like it's a football program at Auburn or something.
Well, not to spoil it, but later in the movie, the diving meet.
The crowds.
It attracts a crowd.
Cheerleaders.
Not quite the arena size that the East Valley Karate Championships attracted back in 1985, but pretty close. Pretty close. It draws a pretty robust crowd, to say the least. And so Thornton's really loving being a freshman. He's doing typical freshman things. He's supposed to study with Jason. And not only are they like, do they have most of their classes together? Now Jason wants to fucking study. Jason's a needy little bitch. Meanwhile, Thornton's out chasing Poon. He's out singing with the band at the college bar. Robert Downey Jr. is doing some civil disobedience, ruining the football pep rally. Also, and I'm not completely up on the timeline, but would you think diving to be a fall semester sport?
That's true. Feels very springish.
You would think warmer weather. Not a fall sport, but again, I don't know how they do things at Grand Lakes University.
Now I'm struggling with this because at the bar where they're starting to cut loose, Chaz Osborne is with like three or four women in his booth.
Yeah.
And on one hand, I mean, he is beautiful and he's got that feathered mullet.
Gorgeous.
But on the other hand, they're kind of implying that the diving bona fides are what's getting him the women. Because then the football team shows up and he like knows them, like football athletes and divers are on the same plane.
Yeah, exactly.
It's weird.
That's exactly. He's the big diver on campus. So the football team shows up to the bar and they're Chaz lets them know, hey, there's Robert Downey Jr. over there. He was on a coke bender. He's the one that ruined the pep rally. Meanwhile, How fucking old is the quarterback?
Real old. He's given off a late 30s vibe.
Yes. He looks 40 years old, and I've looked him up. Aside from Robert Downey Jr. and maybe M. Emmett Walsh, this guy might be the most successful actor of the group.
Really?
Yeah, his name is Mike McGrady. He's a character actor, but he's on like, I don't see it here. He's on like three long-running TV shows. He's on FBI. He's on one of the Chicago...
He's on shows for the olds.
Yeah, Chicago PD. And he's on something else, like a CSI or something. The guy works. But you know he's probably pretty fucking old because you cannot find his fucking date of birth anywhere. He's one of these guys that's hidden that detail from his IMDb, his wiki. I just don't know how old this guy is. But he had to be 40 years old when he was supposed to be playing the college quarterback.
And there are two things about this scene. One is the classic Rodney line, bring a pitcher every 7 minutes until someone passes out, then every 10 minutes. That's a great line. But then also, when the fight's about to go down and Rodney's talking a big game, he's like, well, I got Lou. And then the guy who stands up, Lou,
yep.
His intimidator's a 5'6" old guy with a limo hat on.
Yep.
That was the big intimidator.
He crushes the napkin dispenser with his tiny little old man hands.
Yeah. And then the fight, and Lou proves himself. He's killing people.
He kicks everybody's ass.
He literally kills somebody. He murders someone in the last scene. He puts the guy headfirst into a jukebox with like broken glass around his neck. Best case scenario, he just turned a guy into a quadriplegic.
Right.
He might have murdered someone.
But Thornton pays that off. Thornton, he sets up a trust for the guy. Like he sets him up. He keeps these things quiet to keep the wheels greased, I think.
And you have to respect Mellon. Rocks a full velour suit throughout the movie.
No, he looks great. He looks fantastic. So they beat up the whole bar, and then it's typical freshman. Thornton's in class the next day. He gets Sally Kellerman calls on him, and I respect him because he doesn't know shit about The Great Gatsby, which is a trash book. But also,
it's really bad. I tried it like 15 years ago. I thought, you know what? Let me revisit this. I didn't like it in school. Maybe it really is good. No, it's awful.
It's
awful.
Also, it's like 119 pages, and it's impossible to get through.
But you can't get through it.
Yeah.
You can't get through it.
Another question. I know this is supposed to be Harvard, and they're reading The Great Gatsby. I read that in freshman English, high school freshman.
Right. Like Cliff Notes took care of it in freshman
high school. It's not a college-level tome. Jason Stewart, have you listened to The Great Gatsby in your car ever? Or did you see the movie with Isla Fisher, who I would like to have sex with?
Read the book. Mm-hmm. I've listened to it, and I hated the recent adaptation of it with
Leonardo DiCaprio as Gatsby.
Yeah, awful.
Very stylized.
Baz Luhrmann. Terrible.
Yes, awful. Awful book. Awful movie. Hard pass on all things Gatsby. But he somehow tricks. You know how you can do office hours if you. Kids, if you're in college, here's what you do.
Such a good move. Such a good move.
Here's what you do. You don't think it's a good idea. The teacher goes, I have office hours on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 10 from 10 a.m. to 10:25. The very first office hours, you go. You go there every time you introduce yourself.
First impression, best impression.
Always. Tell him your name. You shake his hand or hers. You look her in the eye. Do whatever it takes to let them know who you are, that you're studious, that you care. Because if things get a little dicey, they're going to remember you and they're going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Always recommend that.
That Brian really did care.
Yeah, he must not, he did mention that he was had a learning disability that time he came to my office hours. It's you season the stew a little bit before things get dicey. But he's able to work at Thornton Mellon. He's a mover and a shaker. He says, hey, why don't you tutor me at your place? And she agrees.
Well, 'cause she's earthy. Yeah,
She doesn't offer up much resistance at all. No, even when she kind of rejects him, she still leaves the door wide open.
Yep.
At every turn. Yep.
And I did read this little detail. Dr. Diane Turner's residence, where he eventually shows up and prints money.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to guess. Because it looks like Beverly Hills to me. I would say that's either Beverly Hills or Pasadena.
I have no idea which one.
All right.
It's the same home where Jamie Lee Curtis gets terrorized by Michael Myers in Halloween.
Shut the fuck up. Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Unbelievable. Stunning. Stunning development. So now Thornton's starting to take it seriously. He's not taking it seriously, but he's doing what a smart guy does. And this is what fucking drives me crazy. He's like, oh, we're reading Slaughterhouse-Five. So he gets fucking Kurt Vonnegut to not only be in his movie, they must have been cocaine buddies or something, but also to come tutor him. He's like, oh, Kurt Vonnegut's going to come write my paper about his book. He's got NASA scientists there doing his astronomy homework. Like, this is how a real somebody, a thinking human being operates. He's got the means to make it happen. He's going to get grades the smart way. And you know who hates
isn't that what we want? Yes. Isn't that what we want in our leaders, is to find smart people around them? I mean, that's what's undoing our whole world right now, is people don't surround themselves with smart
leaders. That's exactly right. He goes, they hand him a paper and he goes, feels too light. Throw a couple more graphs in it. Like, this is a guy, he's a delegator. And he goes, Jason walks in, he's like, what's going on here with all these scientists and shit? And he goes, here's your astronomy paper. And Jason, what's Jason do? It's bound. He's bound it in a leather case. Jason wings it across the room like a fucking asshole. And you know what he says? I want to do my own astronomy paper.
Nobody wants to do their own astronomy. Even astronomers don't want to do that.
I mean, just think about it. Like, in college, one of the feelings I just remember always having is being overwhelmed with work and tests. If you could just knock a target off, like, take that test and then work on everything else. Yeah.
Oh,
you would never want to do it yourself.
I remember, like, my freshman English 1 class, you had to write, like, 10 essays, and every semester it was the same 10 essays, and I wrote these fucking 10 essays and I did pretty well on them. And then you know what I did? I gave them to my buddy that was taking the class the next semester. And you know what he probably did? He gave them to the next guy. And you know what he did? They're probably still in use today, those papers, because that's what you do now. The people buy papers online and they have software that can like search out phrases and stuff. But back then we had to do it the old fashioned way, where you fucking copied shit and changed it a little bit. Yeah. And this Jason Mellon's like, oh no, I want to do my own astronomy. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. And astronomy is fucking hard. It's not just looking at stars. It's like math and shit.
It's not just about the Big Dipper. There's a lot of math in there. It sucks.
And so Thornton, another thing he's doing is, and this is genius, he sends his secretary, who also happens to be moonlighting. She's Ed Rooney's secretary in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Again,
Edie McClurg made a lot of appearances in the mid-80s.
Again,
small wonder.
To echo Jason Stewart's point, she just fucking hopped on a plane from Illinois and doing Ferris Bueller. This is around the same time. She just took the same character and cruised on over to Grand Lakes University and is doing the exact same thing.
And around the same time, she's pretty much playing the woman at the car rental desk in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Yes. Same era. Yes. Same woman. Yes.
Exact same.
Same woman, same character every time. Then we go, so Thornton's got a team doing his work. Jason's being a huge dick, but now Jason's finally made the diving team. And they go to the diving meet's going on. There's roughly 1,000 people in the stands for some reason. It's a bright sunny day. Jason,
right. It might be more people at a diving match in this movie than all of the diving matches in history combined.
It's unbelievable. And this Jason Mellon, he's just had it out with his dad, where he's like, I don't want you to do anything for me. I want to do everything myself. And then what's he do when he gets to the diving meet? He walks up to Valerie and he's like, hey, Valerie, listen, my dad's throwing a party after the meet.
Right.
Why don't you come on over? So he's not good enough. He's too good to use his dad's NASA written astronomy paper.
Actual know-how.
Yeah, but he's not too good to try to get a piece of ass piggybacked on the party his dad's throwing in the sweet fucking dorm room he's remodeled. Pretty fucked up. Jason Mellon might be one of the great pieces of shit in film history.
Worst guy.
Yeah.
Worst guy.
But Johnny Lawrence, who's the greatest bully of all time, obviously, he lets Jason, like a pussy, goes up to Johnny Lawrence and like he's like, hey, let's kick the shit out of State in this diving match, and tries to shake his hand. And Johnny Lawrence is like, hey, look, he's like, I don't want to fucking shake your hand because your dad bought your way onto this team. And Jason, like a fucking dipshit, believes him. He sees his dad shaking hands with Emmett Walsh. He doesn't like it. He dives like shit because he's a pussy. And he's all bummed out.
Legs. Everybody knows when you dive, you don't spread your legs.
You never spread your legs. You fuck it. It's the least amount of splash. It doesn't matter what happens in the air. It's the splash that matters. I've heard Al Troutwig every 4 years.
That's
it's
right.
The splash.
We're just occasional viewers. We know you don't spread your legs.
So then the party's going on. And who's on stage? Jason, who's on stage at Thornton Mellon's party?
I mean, it's Oingo Boingo, but let's talk about Oingo Boingo. Let's talk about the stage, and let's talk about the room. So this dorm room, as we talked about earlier, was like six dorms taken out. It's like a wing of a building. And then also this massive room for a stage and a dance floor was just kind of hidden away. The dorm room gets bigger and bigger, and they did this all over a lunch. They did the entire renovation over a lunch.
So he found speedy workers. I don't know what your problem
that's fine.
Is.
Now did you see up front that the person that did the score was Danny Elfman?
Yep.
Yeah, I would point out here, because I know he's the reason why her last name is Jenna Elfman. She's super annoying, but that is a good pull for him. He's not a looker.
He's her uncle. Danny Elfman.
Oh, I thought it was her husband.
No, Danny Elfman. Danny Elfman is married to Bridget Fonda.
Well, that's a great pull.
Yeah, Bridget Fonda's a piece.
He is not a looker.
Well, no, he's not.
He's all sickly and gingery.
He's not handsome. They've just gotten married.
Bridget Fonda.
Man, they're so rich.
She's still got a fastball. That's a big pull for him.
She is smoking hot. Oh no, they've been married since 2003. One kid. She is a honey, this Bridget Fonda. So Oingo Boingo's playing. It's a pretty sweet party. And meanwhile, fucking Jason's over there drinking a beer, trying to be, you know, Robert Downey Jr. is like, look, I got Coke. You know, it's like, you don't have to be sad. I got Coke.
And I got a Wonder Woman costume. We can do some shit.
He's being a real bitch. And then what's Thornton doing? He's in this is just one of the baller moves of all time. He's in the hot tub with a bunch of co-ed honeys. He's
straighten out my Longfellow.
He's underwater with the snorkel and goggles. And he comes up and there's Sally Kellerman, who, by the way, has a boyfriend, Dr. Barbe.
Right. She pulls up with Barbe.
Yes.
Who inexplicably is a British guy who drives in a little car without doors and the steering wheel on the right side of the car.
Yes.
I'm not sure what is this? I mean, his old timey cap and everything. Yeah. But she's on a date with someone else.
She's made it clear that she's in a relationship. She turned him down already for the party.
Yeah.
As far as he's concerned, and every single male known to man, he's free game. Everything's in play at that point.
And he comes up out of the water and with one of the this guy's a quick thinker with one of the great lines of all times. He's like, Diane, say hello to my nieces.
And also, Jason, inexplicably in this scene, just sprays some dude with beer in his face.
Right,
because he's mad.
Yeah.
The guy was just having a good time. He wasn't agitating him.
No, he's the original incel. He gets in between the guy and his date and starts like dancing real weird with her, and then turns around and like shakes his beer in his face and sprays his face. Then he goes outside, randomly runs into Valerie, who's still being super nice, and then Johnny Lawrence comes up, and much like the fucking Karate Kid, Johnny Lawrence doesn't really do anything, and this fucking Jason Mellon, like a prick, punches him right in the fucking face, knocks out Johnny Lawrence.
It's a pretty embarrassing scene for Chaz Osborne.
Yeah, it is.
Because little Jason floors him with one punch.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a sucker punch, but yeah, Jason's like 5'3". So what else happens? Thornton's working on Diane, but Dr. Barbet, he's not having it. He calls Thornton into Dean Martin's office, and Dean Martin's like, he's like, I don't believe, Dr. Barbet tells Dean Martin, he's like, look, he goes, I don't believe this guy's doing his own work. He's having NASA guys do it. And Dean Martin, he's been purchased a building for his campus by Thornton Mellon. And he's like, just tell me honestly. And he's like, okay, I'll be honest with you. Yes, I did it. And he's like, okay, good enough for me. But Dr. Barbet's not having it. He proposes an oral exam of all of his classes. And he has to get all of his professors together to test his knowledge, a comprehensive oral exam. Jason's still pissed off or whatever. And then he happens upon Burt Young in the quad. And Burt Young talks to him for like 12 seconds and basically says all the shit that Thornton Mellon's been saying. And then everything's fine. He's like, hey, he's your dad. He wants the best for you. And Jason Mellon's like, okay, yeah, you're right, Lou. I understand now. Like, what was that? He's been a prick to his dad this whole movie, and all of a sudden he gets 30 seconds of advice and everything's better.
And part of the advice was, yeah, I had two kids. I put one through college. I put another through the wall. Like,
yeah.
Oh, great.
Was it the – I thought he said the war. No, that makes more sense, the wall.
Like, he just – I beat the shit out of one of my sons. So you got to know your dad loves you. Okay. Thanks.
That's pretty funny.
I guess.
Yeah. So then we have a bitchin' study montage. He's getting ready for his oral exam. He's like, and Lou massages Thornton a lot, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
He's getting a lot of massages from his air quotes driver, but whatever. He's studying. It's a full montage. He's studying in the shower and everything. Jason somehow has scored Valerie now. She's his chick. Do you think?
Oh, by the way, when Jason scores Valerie, he says something like, I think I love you, or something like that. And she goes, that's the first time you've said three sentences to me. And then she says, I love you too. What?
Yeah.
How can you be in love with somebody that looks like him?
And then then she has a very gross makeout with him where he is probably standing on some sort of a step stool.
Right, like an apple box,
right,
or something.
Do you think she made her agent like get her a little bump before doing that scene where she's like, nah, I need like $8,000 if I'm gonna make out with this Jason Mellon guy? So then we end up at the diving meet. Oh, so he has the oral exam. And he does well, right? Or he gets all D's.
But one last fact I learned about Rodney. Rodney suffered through gout during parts of the filming of the movie. The scene, especially the scene with when he recites Dylan Thomas's Don't Go Gently Into That Good Night. Oh. He was dealing with gout as he was trying to stand upright. Right. That's
very
scene.
Painful.
So but could we overstate or understate just how stupid the love story ended between Jason and what's her face, Valerie?
Awful.
Yeah.
Horrible. He was a total dick to her towards the end, and then he pretty much was a pussy around her in the other scenes. So unless there were like a lot of background scenes that were never alluded to, it seems like they barely like walk by each other on campus a couple times, and then both of them admit that they love each other.
Yeah, it's very, it's super weird.
Kind of like what I just said.
Yeah, not a whole lot of time was spent putting into that relationship. No. if we were gonna try to believe that.
Jason was looking at his phone during that time.
Agreed.
So then they have them. They have the diving meet. Yes.
By the way, I could watch a full hour long documentary on the rationale for the one black guy in the crowd at the diving meet. There was like 500 people, but the one black guy, he felt the least true. That he's going to be cheering for no black person
ever gone to a diving
meet. Has ever gone to a diving meet. No, for
I
what?
I agree.
What?
Also, why was Robert Downey Jr. dressed like Johnny Dangerously? He had like a fedora and like a black pinstripe suit and a red tie at a diving match.
True, but when I first saw this movie, his performance at this diving meet was the funniest part of the movie for me.
Yeah, because he's heckling. He blows an air horn and he takes out his Coke mirror and shines it in the guy's eyes. It's great. Jason is now bullying Johnny Lawrence. Johnny Lawrence does a dive with his legs spread, which we know is illegal. You can't do that. Then he fakes an injury, a cramp. Apparently he can't dive with a cramp. And who comes out of the crowd? The coach.
First, Johnny has Chaz has one of the great lines when Jason's really peacocking. He's like, Valerie's with me now or something like that. And he goes, coming into your own, aren't you, Melon? Like, that's a great way to just size him up.
No, it's great.
I hated the writing decision, by the way, the editorial decision to make him fake an injury with cramps. That seems far below Johnny/Chaz, the same character.
As the greatest bully in the history of film, like, maybe have him get actually physically injured on the dive.
Yeah, it's a weak way to go out.
Because
maybe get disqualified by trying to kick Melon's ass. Like, you're out of here. You're off the team. Now we need someone to dive.
He could do is sweep the leg. Because apparently, like, even though people have been getting kicked in the face for the entire tournament, kicking somebody in their hurt leg is
illegal. That's right.
It's against the rules for some reason. Far. I don't know why. So Thornton Mellon's called in
I'm sorry. One last thing. When Jason actually does like a great dive to keep them in contention, it was a terrible dive. He didn't even flip. He just did like a backwards.
It was a back dive. It's a back dive, but I don't know if you noticed.
One judge gave him a 10.
I don't know if you noticed. Very little splash.
Number there was one a little splash, nope. But that felt worse than the Chavez Sweet Pea Whitaker judge. Right. Like, for a guy to give him a 10 for that, he didn't even flip once.
Richard Steele was on hand. Thornton comes in off the bench. He executes the triple Lindy, which has to be illegal. I don't even think there's that many diving boards on it.
They said they moved in an extra diving board.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
How did in what world could 60-year-old Rodney Dangerfield qualify to do that dive and have it sanctioned?
And he hadn't been practicing out
for their team. Like, and what? And how many loops? How many steps do you need to skip to get off the bench and just do a dive that counts swim?
It's crazy. But
this wasn't just a full crowd; it was a standing room only. Like surrounding the pool, there are other people standing. Like
there were cheerleaders. There were cheerleaders at the diving event
for the other team. Yeah. So he executes the triple Lindy. They presumably win the diving match. And then they go to the commencement. This is how the film wraps up. It's like graduation. And it looks like, so Jason and Robert Downey Jr., I can't remember if they're graduating or not, but Thornton is like, he's a freshman. He's making the commencement speech and he's like fully decorated.
Is this a Billy Madison situation? He just has to do like a week in each thing?
Yeah, I think maybe, or it's like he's like a Cosby sitch where they're like, hey, you donated a building. And then pretty weak one-liners in his commencement speech. Hey, you got to look out for number one, but don't step on number two.
Yeah.
Kind of tough. But that's how it wraps up. Everyone's happy. Fantastic movie. I wouldn't say holds up, but it is entertaining. Back to School, 1986. Fantastic. Jason Stewart, any thoughts before we wrap up?
I enjoyed the movie. I remember seeing the movie when it first came out, and then I've gone, how many years? 32 years of not seeing it, not even on cable or anything. Mm-hmm. And it holds up. I mean, this was basically a way for Rodney Dangerfield to get his stand-up jokes into a movie. He doesn't apologize for having zero acting ability. He's just the exact same character he was in Caddyshack, and it works. And I did find it funny that the Burt Young just played the cousin or the brother, but other than these little kind of whimsical, typical 80s things, I think it holds up. Like, I recommend this movie.
Totally agree. And it's hard to, if you're younger and you don't realize, you just cannot really, unless you were there, understand how fucking big of a star Rodney Dangerfield was at the time. He was everywhere. Everybody loved him. He was such a fucking mega planet star at the time. It's just, you wouldn't even understand if you didn't live through it. Ed Daly, your thoughts. Send us home. What do you think?
I agree with Jason. It was very enjoyable. It wasn't easy money in terms of funny, I think.
Right, easy
but
money.
It was still
fantastic.
It was still like a very good Rodney tell one-liners, and he was just a lovable character. And totally. At least on screen, totally. Maybe not in real life.
Everybody
but,
loved him.
But he was fun, and I could see this movie take out the diving. But this could be a remake kind of candidate. It's a funny concept. Mm-hmm. If
who are you going to put? You don't have a Rodney. Who do you put in it? Who plays the Rodney?
I mean, you'd have to find somebody good. But you could do something funny with this.
Hmm. Yeah, it's possible.
And I think you would have to. Throw the diving. They'd have to rethink the diving as
the diving's out. Yeah, nobody's taking diving. Diving is fucking.
Wasn't
out.
There another diving? There was another diving movie set at like ASU around this time where it was like
really.
Yeah, they were like trying to make a hunk calendar. Oh my god!
This isn't Gymkhana. Like this isn't.
Oh, Gymkhana. Gymkhana.
Yeah.
With Gymkhana. With Mitch Gaylord.
Mitch Gaylord.
Wait, Mitch Gaylord and Gretzky's wife, right?
Oh yeah, Janet Jones. What a babe.
Right. They were trying to make a lot of things happen. Yeah, the beach volleyball side out. They were trying a lot of sports, but
how about rap?
If you remake it, if you
I think you have something there. If you think about it, the common side out was beach volleyball.
Yep. See Thomas Howell.
But the common trait here is coming off the excitement of the 1984 games that Russia boycotted, so we won all the awards.
That's right, L.A.
I think there was a push to get those Olympic sports out there. People had a fever for those sports, hence the Mitch Gaylord project and diving in the main sport, this one.
Your point with 84 Olympics, this movie came out in 86, so somebody wrote this in 84, you're right.
In the wake of 84.
Right. This is all 84 totally. Olympics.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I went to basketball at the Forum and I watched Detlef Schrempf put it on Italy.
West Germany.
Yeah.
Really?
West Germany, yeah. He put it on them dudes. He was pretty
good.
I went
to Dodger Stadium.
He was a stud.
Yeah.
I went to Dodger Stadium and saw Mark McGwire.
Yeah, so did I.
USA.
So did I, buddy. Me too. All right, guys. Excellent job as always. Jason Stewart, fantastic whenever you can join us. We appreciate it. The check is in the mail. I will edit out that part where I said where you work, even though everybody knows already.
Just beep it.
I'll beep it. Ed Daly, fantastic work as you do every week. So,
great job, boss.
For special guest Jason Stewart, for Ed Daly, my name is Brian Beckner. This has been episode 290. Of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Listen up, you players and shot callers, TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless, TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers, TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us, TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.